Buenos días. Good morning to everyone. God bless. What a blessing it is to be here before you and together worship our Lord in spirit and in truth and to learn from His Word. What a beautiful morning we have. And you know, the best day of the week, Sunday. You know, it could be cold, it could be hot, it could be raining, but still it's a beautiful day because it's the Lord's Day. That is the reason why it's a beautiful day. This morning, I want to share with you some thoughts, and the title of the lesson this morning is simply, Farther Along. Farther Along. My objective in this lesson is that each of us would be motivated to faith in God when we encounter the mysteries, uncertainties, and inequities of life. Let's go to our first scripture in the Bible, which is in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says the following. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." The faithful Christian brethren wants to know about heaven and what it will be like. There are many questions that we have as Christians. For example, what will it be like? Where will we go? What will we do? How will we exist? You know, if we remember, this is the same questions that we used to have when we were little kids. You know, I get these questions all the time from my kids. And this is the questions that we still have. We don't know for sure how, when, what we're going to be doing up there. But let me tell you something. In the passage we just read, the Apostle John frankly admits that he doesn't know what we will be like. He does say, however, that we will be like him. And for John, this is enough. It ought to be enough for us as well. He's satisfied to have these questions answered farther along. You know, Farther Along is an old familiar favorite. It's a hymn, it's a song in our songbook. It was written in 1911 and attributed to W.B. Stevens. The version that we have in our songbook right here, which is the number 377, the version that we have was arranged in 1937 by J.R. Baxter Jr. And the words of this song are comforting and help us to go through difficult times in life. Let us consider then, for a few minutes, some thoughts based upon this familiar and beautiful song. I'm going to read only the first verse in the choir, and it says, "Tempted and tried, we're often made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the throng. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by." Yes, brethren, farther along, we'll understand more about life. And first of all, I want to share with you that farther along, we'll understand the mysteries of life. You know, it's a fact that there are some things in life that are just a mystery. We don't know everything about life. We don't know why they happen. We don't know the reason and everything. But consider Moses' statement in Deuteronomy 29:29 when he wrote the following. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, the Bible says this. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." You know, the Bible is very clear about the mysteries of life. We can ask more questions than we will ever have answers to. That is just a fact. We do have the answers to all things that we need for our spiritual life as well. I mean, we do have all of that. We might not have all the answers, but we do have the answers to all things that we need spiritually in this life. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:3. In 2 Peter 1:3, the Bible talks that we have all we need for life and godliness. Listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says this: "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." So is it possible to have a godly life? Absolutely yes. That does not mean that we're going to be perfect and we're not going to make any mistakes. Of course, that does not what it means. It means just that we have everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11 and 12. Listen to what it says there as well. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says this. We're going to find there in that scripture that the Bible talks that the grace of God teaches us. What a wonderful thing. It says, Titus 2:11 and 12, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age." So, remember, we might not have all the answers, but we have everything we need for a spiritual life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to this young evangelist. Remember yesterday we were talking about this? Well, listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be truly equipped for every good work." You know, what a wonderful thing that we have the Bible that equips us, that teaches us, that corrects us. We live nowadays in a society that, you know, if you say something wrong, something offensive, man, they cancel you. Man, if you put a verse of the Bible in the social media, man, you might get banned, or you know, your Facebook account, you'll be like in Facebook jail or something like that, just for quoting the Bible. But what a wonderful thing that we have the Bible, and all scripture is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen, and what a wonderful blessing that is. The other questions we ask, we must rely on our faith to answer. For example, in Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, we have faith on those things that we have not seen, that we don't know why, but we have faith in God. We must trust that God knows the answers when we don't. He knows. I mean, do you think that everything that is going on is just out of the control of God? Absolutely not. That doesn't mean that God wants those things to happen, but God knows that everything that is going on, He has control over everything. We must just trust God that He knows all the answers when we don't. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, listen to what it says. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The same Apostle Paul, writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote the following. Listen to what he says. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So everything we ask is able, the Bible says, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Has this happened to you, that sometimes you don't know what to do, who to go to, or what to say, and you pray to God and He does just way more than what you ask for? What a wonderful feeling that is. And He knows exactly what is going on in our lives. So brethren, farther along, all of the mysteries in life will be revealed. Also, farther along, we will understand more about the uncertainties of life. There are times when life is uncertain. That is a fact of life. That's just how life works. We sometimes feel like we don't know to whom to turn or where to go. Sometimes uncertainty can only be alleviated by going through the experience. We'll know have seen the news by now of the tornadoes we were talking about yesterday that happened in the area of Kentucky and all of that area. Just a devastating scenes that we have seen on the news. When we place our faith in God at such times, He will help us get through. Consider the example of Abraham. God said that Abraham would have a son by Sarah. Of course, this was beyond Abraham's experience. He had never heard of someone Sarah's age having a child. But he believed in God. Romans 4, 19 through 21, the Bible says about Abraham the following. Romans chapter 4, in verses 19 through 21, the Bible says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Man, that's why the Bible says that we need to be like children to inherit the kingdom of God. When you promise something to little kids, they will believe it. Anything you promise, they will believe it. And they'll believe it with all of their hearts. And that is the attitude as children of God that we need to have. God has promised that He's going to take care of us. He promised that He has control over everything. You know the song of when we learn as little kids, He has the whole world in His hands. And He still do. And He knows everything, and He has control over the uncertainties of lives. of our lives. God assured us that when we are uncertain about life, He is there. He is there, brethren. Uncertainty may be of necessity. Matthew 6:30, listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, the scripture that we all know. Matthew 6:30, Jesus said, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into open, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Of course He will. He's going to take care of us. What's going on with the economy right now? What has been going on with the economy forever? You know, He's going to take care of us. One way or another, He's going to take care of us. Uncertainty of uncontrollable things, maybe. Matthew 8:26. Just let's turn the page. Matthew 8:26, the Bible says, "And He said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Sometimes trouble in our lives is just like the storms and the winds and the tornadoes in our lives. But let me tell you something. God is still there, even in the uncertainties of the uncontrollable. Also, uncertainty of self. Have you ever thought about that? Uncertainty of self. Matthew 14, 31. Same book, Matthew. Couple of pages down the road. Matthew 14, 31. The Bible says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why did you doubt? He said. In other version, you know, I'm reading from the old King James Version, but in this version it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know, sometimes that's the problem with us. We pay much attention to everything that is going on around us instead of paying attention to the Creator of things, of everything, of the universe, the space and earth, and we just have faith in God, everything will be okay. Brethren, farther along, we'll be better prepared and able to endure life's uncertainty when we trust God. Finally, farther along, we will understand more about the iniquities of life. Yes, life also has a certain amount of iniquity. There is no guarantee for justice in this life. Criminals receive little or no punishment, whether it be rape, child abuse, murder, etc. Sometimes there seems to be no justice whatsoever. People that ought to be tried, they are not, they're free. People that not should not be free, they are. So it's just all the way around. But not all wrongs, let me tell you this, not all wrongs are righted in this life. We need to understand that and we need to come with peace with that. Not all wrongs are righted in this life. Some wrongs are only righted after death. When we are wrong, we must place our trust in God, knowing that justice will be served one way or another. But justice finally will be served. Ecclesiastes 5, 8. Let's listen to what Solomon had to say about this. Let's go to the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 5, 8. The Bible says this. "If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a providence, do not marvel at that matter, for high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them." Yes, brethren, God is the ultimate judge. Jesus will be judging us in the judgment day. That's why it's called the judgment day. Justice is served through the cross. You know, Jesus' death on the cross was for the sins of mankind, there is God's merciful way to bring justice. If sinners will call upon the Lord in faith, obedience, and be baptized for the remission of sins, God will pay the price for their sins. Oh, what a wonderful offer that is. An offer that, you know, we must not just let it go. If you have not been baptized this morning for the remission of sins, don't let pass this opportunity. It's a wonderful offer. It offers eternal salvation. Titus 2:14, the Bible says this. Let's go back to the New Testament now. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen to what it says. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. What is that peculiar people? It's all about zealous of good works. That is the kind of people that God wants. Zealous of good work. You know, like that kind of people that somebody opened the door, you go first. No, you go first. No, I'll open the door for you. No, I'll get it for you. What a wonderful feeling that is. You know, good people, zealous of good work. You know, that just a quick example of that. I just want to say thank you to my brother right here. And I told him when I entered him, but I want to just mention it. What a wonderful thing. And thing that he does, he opens the door for everyone when we enter here. Man, that really encouraged me a lot to be like him. Thank you, brother. Love you so much. And brethren, what a wonderful thing that is, just to be zealous of good works, you know, and trying to do the best. We're not perfect, but just trying our best. That is what God wants. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. Let's go back to the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, this young evangelist. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Yes, there is only one God and one mediator between God and man. That is Christ Jesus. And we trust and we believe in him. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a beautiful song. Right, that we just sang. What a friend we have in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says also this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So by doing this, God brought justice to mankind. You know, this is very interesting because a lot of people think, you know, atheists think, well, if you believe in a justice God, and a just God, I'm sorry, and God that just do everything good, well, what about when somebody had to pay for the sins? I mean, why God had to send Jesus to die? He could have just said, I forgive all of your sins. Why does he have to send his son to die on the cross? He couldn't say just that and just be done with it? Listen, God is just, but and also is merciful. And in the cross, it was justice and mercy met on Calvary because somebody had to pay. But Jesus took our place. He took our place. We were the ones that should have been on that cross, but Jesus took our place, brethren. So justice and mercy met on Calvary. What a wonderful thing that is. That's why we serve a wonderful God, and we say, thank you, Lord. Romans 3:25 and 26, the Bible says this. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, whom God had set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have been baptized for the remission of sins, you may. You know, you're covered with the mercy, with the grace of God. You know, and we continue to, on this life, of course, you know, be faithful until then, but, you know, that's mercy right there. If one does not accept God's justice through the cross, then one must accept God's justice for eternity. I wouldn't recommend this for anyone, not even for my worst enemy. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't wait until God's justice for eternity in the final day. Romans 12:19, the Bible says this. Just a couple of pages down the road. Romans chapter 12 and then verse 19, the Bible says, Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Also in Hebrews 10:30, the Bible says, For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So we're talking about that sometimes, you know, people just do not receive the justice that they are looking for in this life. But sooner or later, God will make everything right. Jude 1:7, listen to what it says. Jude 1:7, the Bible says this. Just before Revelations, Jude 1:7, it says, Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities above them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So he will make everything right, you know, but we ought not to take vengeance into our own hands. We need to leave it to God. We'll understand farther along why. It's just like we as parents, I mean, it's very simple. When the kids are just fighting over something and they both hum and are just like, hey, he said that or he did that. And then we ask, well, did you retaliate? Did you, you know, hit your brother or something? Well, yes. Well, both of you, you know, both of you are going to be grounded because they took their matters into their own hands. So it's the same with us. Yes, there's no justice sometimes, but God will take care of everything. We need to love each other. We need to forgive. And we need to just trust in God. So brethren, farther along, God will make all wrongs right someday. In conclusion, farther along, we'll be able to understand more about the mysteries of life, about the uncertainties of life, about the injustice of lives. Finally, I want to close with this scripture, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, the Bible says, Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed unto judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So, what is the conclusion? Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, I love this scripture because sometimes we read this scripture and we think immediately about, well, there's a lot of things that people are doing wrong that nobody knows about, but in the final day, hey, God's going to, you know, make evident to everyone that that thing that was done in the dark is going to come to light. Yes, and that is true. Correct. That is what it says. But it also says, good or evil. There's a lot of people with good heart that do very good things, but they say, hey, don't say anything about it. You know, don't say that I give this, that I purchase that for that person. Just don't say anything about it. What a wonderful thing, because God is watching, and he's gonna, you know, give justice to all of those people, good or evil. So, brethren, farther along, we'll understand why. Live in the sunshine. will understand everything someday, all by and by. This is the lesson this morning. I hope that this lesson has been a benefit for you, as it was for me when I was preparing this lesson. Just to not go crazy. Don't get frustrated. You know, everything changes when you're a parent. You know, before I had all my kids and everything, you know, sometimes when we don't have kids, we just kind of just live lives like very relaxed, and whatever happens with the economy, whatever happens with society, nah, doesn't matter. But when you have kids, everything changes. Like when I was young, I was always driving just a small car, 4-cylinder, just to save gas. And I was like, that's very intelligent because I'm saving gas and everything. But now that my oldest daughter is growing up, and she's starting to get the wheel and learning how to drive. Once in a while, we'll go to a parking lot, an empty parking lot, and she's starting to grab the wheel and everything. I'm thinking about not a small car. I'm thinking about a Hummer tank or something that will protect her if something happens. I don't care about gas anymore. I just care about her being protected. So everything changes. But farther along, we'll understand everything. And when we trust in God, you know, we'll have that peace, that inner peace that we need to go forward and to live joyful and full lives. So at this time, if you have not been baptized for the remission of sins, what are you waiting for? It's cold. It's a little bit cold. But let me tell you something. You can be saved right here, right now. So let us stand up and sing the invitation song.